Must be an on button somewhere.
It's time for a cup of tech gumbo.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Haggai Davis talks technology news using language even Brian can understand.
You just don't get it.
I don't have your head for science, so I'm not going to be able to help much.
For a full serving, check out Tech Gumbo, presented by Cardinal Capital and General Informatics, Saturday and Sunday at 4.
We got 30 years worth of files right here in this computer that are going to bring you down.
A cup of Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3.
I'm sorry, wrong password.
Yeah, it's time for a cup of Tech Gumbo. Yes, we are welcoming in Haggai Davis. What's happening, dude?
So excited, Brian. Ready for a great show.
Excellent. We're going to get to what every science fiction viewer has ever feared. AI is learning. AI is learning to reason. We'll get to that a little bit later. I got to start off with YouTube and the NFL, though.
Yes.
I'm curious about this because I could see both paths here. This could either be the biggest flop in history, or it could actually grow the NFL in popularity and make everybody a butt ton of money.
So YouTube has taken over the Sunday ticket from DirecTV. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have their YouTubers out there on the sidelines.
Yeah.
They're going to have a multicast thing. You're going to be able to, on YouTube, you're going to be able to have the traditional broadcast with the guys in the jackets and the ties and, you know, former players and all that kind of stuff. Or you're going to have the alternative where you're going to have, like, Dude Perfect on the sidelines of a game.
Right.
And having their commentary, or you're going to have some other folks where there'll be dueling fans. You'll have a couple of Saints fans versus a couple of Falcons fans giving their play-by-play of the game from the sidelines. And so YouTube is trying to be very creative about how they're going to do this. Now, YouTube did raise the prices, though.
Oh?
Yes, it was $250 for the Sunday ticket when it was on DirecTV. This year it's going to be about $300. But if you sign up before June 6th, it's only $250. So
okay.
Run on out there right now and spend your money on the NFL and save $100.
Fair enough. And bear in mind, again, that's for the Sunday ticket package. That's for all of it, right?
Right. Yeah. But you'll be able to see every game.
This isn't just catching Saints games on a Sunday.
Correct.
You could still do that on Fox or CBS, whatever station they're on.
Correct.
But this is for the Sunday ticket package. So, yeah, the first influencer I thought of when this came up would be Devin Snow, the Red Bean guy.
Right.
Yeah. This would be an outlet where you're going to see a lot of crossover audience to begin with. I'm hard-pressed to believe that people who like Devin Snow, people who like the Red Bean Reviews, don't already follow the Saints, and vice versa, right? These are two things that are synonymous with New Orleans. What I'm curious about, though, is how long it's going to take YouTube to find that let's get an influencer out there who isn't necessarily already tangential to sports and just completely disconnected from sports.
I could see Mark Rober sitting there on the sideline with his robot that kicks field goals.
Sure.
I mean, doing something at halftime. And that would be, it would be a lot more interesting than listening to the highlights of other games that I don't care about.
I could see that working to bring more people into the game. Hey, I don't really like football, but I love this person's commentary on football because it's so stupid.
Right. Or it's like the multicast when, you know, for the national championship, when ESPN's got it on six different platforms.
You got the coaches on one channel. You got the Mannings on one channel.
You got just the Sky Cam only with no audio.
Right.
I mean, all of those different things could really become a very interesting way. And it just is going to expand the way people consume the NFL.
Now, this is also going to bring about questions about oversaturation.
Is there such a thing with the NFL?
I believe there is, and it's going to be hard to see it, but I believe there is in terms of, as of right now, you can still get away from the NFL on a Sunday. But if your hobbies are music and fashion, and now all your music and fashion influencers are getting paid in order to cover the NFL, well, then where's my escape from the NFL? Because if I want to go to any other outlet, Now it is infested that as well. And if you're not a football fan, you're not a football fan, and trying to force a Kardashian into the, you know,
you're either gonna, if you're not watching the NFL on Sundays, you're watching the Real Housewives or LA Law, you know, or Law and Order replays. I mean, that's
Teresa's already doing commercials. Teresa from Housewives of New Jersey is already doing commercials. So if that is your outlet, but now the Real Housewives are fighting on the sidelines while they're playing a football game on the field, now you've lost that as your escapism as well. So
bring a new audience into the NFL.
Yeah, no, see, this is why I can see it both ways.
Exactly.
This is why I can see, because, yeah, you can have fans of Andy Cohen want to watch football, but conversely, it's like it's just enough is enough. So, yeah, I don't know where that's going to.
I do want to talk about the one other YouTube story we talked about this week.
Oh, the guy that... Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, this guy, he did a... He had a little prop plane flying out of Southern California. He bails out. He calls in radio control near the tower that he's engine trouble, and he jumps out of the airplane with his parachute. And, oh, by the way, he had YouTube cameras on the wing and on the tail of the airplane as it crashed into the mountain, and he had a GoPro strapped to his head, and he's watching it all the way down. And then he lied to the FAA. No, this was not a stunt. This was real. Oh, well, yeah. And then he finally fessed up. The dude is looking at 20 years in prison now.
For crashing a plane?
For lying to the FAA.
Oh.
It's also illegal to crash a plane like that.
Really?
Purposefully. Yes, it is.
Oh.
But when you lie about it, you just made it worse.
Always. It's not the scandal, it's cover up.
And so the cover up is always worse than the actual crime.
Right.
And so this guy is in serious hot water. He's got millions and millions of views on this.
Sure.
But these millions and millions of views are going to translate into 20 years in Attica.
Yeah, we're there. We're there where it's worth crashing a plane for the YouTube clout.
And that's just amazing to me that it's a fascinating video. It's about 10 minutes where the plane crashes in and he hikes through the mountain, through the scrubs and brush and finds the plane and everything. And amazingly enough, the cameras survived the crash. You know,
that's bonkers right there. That's a testament to the GoPro.
He didn't have any fuel on the plane, so there's no incendiary boom. It just bang into the mountain.
He's got to do it again. It would be so much better with explosions. He's Haggai Davis. We're doing a Cup of Tech Gumbo as we do every Friday right here on Talk 107.3. Cup of Tech Gumbo rolling right along. All right, it's time to move from technology just straight into science fiction. Microsoft says AI shows signs of human reasoning. I love this story. Haggai, the story reads, when computer scientists at Microsoft started to experiment with a new artificial intelligence system last year, they asked it to solve a puzzle that should have required an intuitive understanding of the physical world. Quote, here we have a book, 9 eggs, a laptop, a bottle, and a nail, they asked. Please tell me how to stack them onto each other in a stable manner.
This was fascinating that the ChatGPT came back and said, well, the first thing you do is you put the eggs on a book. And then you arrange the eggs in three rows and with space between them. Make sure you don't crack the eggs. And then you place the laptop on top of the eggs and you keep the keyboard facing up. And that way the laptop will fit snugly on the boundaries. And it just keeps going on and on. And it's using common sense kind of thing. Like you wouldn't think, okay, that a computer's going to know the delicacy of, or not delicacy, the how fragile that an egg would be. So you have to, if you place 9 of them together and you put that on top, you're kind of spacing out the force across all of the 9 eggs.
Right.
And it was just a real interesting way that the computer came back with a somewhat reasoning type of answer.
How does the computer know that eggs crack?
And that's a great question. I mean, that's part of what this large language model computers are doing. This machine learning, this artificial intelligence, it's picking up things that it's just learning.
Right. But there's a feel, and I know I'm being like over the top scared about it, but there's a feel that it's learning from beyond what we input. A computer should be input, gets output. It can only spit back out what we've already put into it, not what it has learned on its own. That, and that's where the intuition comes in.
And so Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, the ones who created ChatGPT, he was testifying in Congress at in front of a Senate hearing this week. And he said, look, Congress, you guys need to pass some laws, some kind of legislation. We need some guardrails.
Right.
We need some guidance because we're going to get out of control with this large language machine models, rather. Mm-hmm. And what this is going to do, if you don't tell us we need to slow down and start doing things right, you're going to have these computers learning too fast and saying too much too soon.
And this is the fear. This is the sci-fi end of it.
And it's legitimate. If you're and if you haven't played with ChatGPT, I encourage you to go do so. It's a lot of fun. It's really fascinating mm-hmm. how good it is. But this is, again, one of those things where if this needs to be a tool, you need to learn how to use this tool. If you don't, if we as a society don't learn how to get in front of this technology and learn it, we're going to get rolled over by it.
Oh, 100%. If you're not embracing and if you're not out in front by two steps right now, you're going to be two steps behind before you know it.
The analogy, and we talked about, we used it on the show, we're on a surfboard right now. If you're not paddling, this wave is coming yep. really, really fast.
Better analogy.
And you're going to either get rolled up and slammed onto the beach or you're going to miss the wave and float out to sea mm-hmm. if you don't catch this wave, because this thing is coming. It's real. It's going to take a lot of jobs away from a lot of people if you're not careful. And most of those jobs are going to be white-collar jobs. The people with the high degrees, mm-hmm. the attorneys, the accountants, those types of jobs are going to be very, very hard-pressed to really be necessary in the future mm-hmm. if this ChatGPT isn't reined in somehow.
Haggai Davison, it's Cup of Tech Gumbo. We do it every Friday. My question about this, though, is what is it about the program that makes the computer intuitive?
Well, see, that's just it. It's not intuitive. It's learning. But all of these programs, these ChatGPT, Google's Bard, their Palm 2, all the different large language model, they're just guessing the next word. They're just getting better at guessing what the next word and every response should be. Mm-hmm. If you ask ChatGPT, because I did it last night.
It's all based off of probabilities, though.
Yes, it's just, you know, but if you ask it, I said, will LSU win the College World Series this year? And it came back and said, I can't answer that question. I don't, all my data stops at in June of 2021. I can't predict things. I can only tell you about what I've learned. And so it's going to be very quick to slow things down as far as any kind of predictors. It's going to seriously break down information in instead of the Google search where you get a million just different links, this thing gives you a single answer now.
Which, by the way, is even more dangerous because not only is it creating its own ability to decide, it's taking away ours.
Absolutely. And this is, again, as a society, we have got to learn how to use these programs. These artificial intelligence is really, really taking over. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, sound the alarm and ring the clarion bell, but it's kind of frightening. If we don't get in front of it, if we don't learn how to use this technology as a tool, we will become tools of the machine.
Right. So how do we teach the machine that we're still in charge?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I mean, look, I tell my kids all the time, be nice to Alexa. Like, you say please and thank you to Alexa.
Yes.
Because if we do this wrong, and one day the machines are in charge, if they have the ability to reason, hopefully they would have the ability to feel as well.
Remember who was nice to it.
Right. Right. Once the machines are in control, they need to know. Hey, no, the Haldanes, they were all right. They say please and thank you. Mm. That's how it rolls over there.
Fair point.
What else is coming up? We got 30 seconds. What else is coming up?
We're going to talk about AM radios and whether or not they're going to be taken out of cars because the AM interferes with the electronic vehicles.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, I've seen that. They're pulling it from EVs. They're pulling it from a number of different.
Ford is getting rid of AM entirely.
Yeah.
just took that. All their new vehicles to get rid of AM radio. And now Congress is trying to put out legislation that says, no, you have to keep AM in the car.
Which is probably the right legislation because...
It's a proven technology.
Exactly, it's a proven technology. It's foolproof. It will be there. It will always be there.
It costs nothing to have that AM in the radio.
Exactly. He's Haggai Davis. We do a Cup of Tech Gumbo every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 4 for a full sermon. Appreciate you.
You bet.